Today's reading is taken from John chapter 21, verses 12 to 19. Jesus reinstates Peter. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me."
Bit of an odd way to finish that particular story, wasn't it? If you're listening, there's the excitement about the fishing and the fish and the breakfast and the solemn words. And then all of a sudden, Jesus launches out into, apparently, the way Peter is going to die. Seems odd the way that's patched on. We'll mention it in a few minutes' time. We're dealing at the moment with a little series on Peter, some of the incidents in his life. And I certainly thought we had a bit of a misprint initially when I saw that Simon at the end of our last term, 2 weeks ago, was talking about Peter, a saint to a sinner. And then I looked at today's topic and saw Glyn's preaching, sinner to saint, and I thought, whoops, Simon's got it wrong. But he hadn't. We are looking at the conflict there was in Peter's life. Isn't it true of so many of us? Martin Luther says, at the same time, a saint and a sinner. That was Peter, if ever there was anyone. Jesus turned, said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me." Difficult to be a much greater sinner than that. Jesus in the high priest's courtyard when Peter in the courtyard when Jesus was inside just the day before he died. And the servant girl said, "You aren't one of this man's disciples too, aren't you?" He replied, "I'm not." Pretty high rated sin. But then earlier on in Jesus' ministry, people were saying, "We're not sure who he is. Who is Jesus?" And Jesus said to Peter, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Peter at his best. Peter the saint. And today, the story we've just had read to us, again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." If anyone lived the roller coaster life, it was Peter. One minute denying, one minute, "Get thee behind me, Satan, you're a stumbling block," and the next minute, "I love you, Lord." The next minute, "You are the Messiah." A wonderful example, in a very dramatic way, of a life which is true of so many of us. We may not have the peaks that he had, We may not have the depths he had, but isn't it true? That saint and sinner bit is so true for all of us. And one of the things I love about Peter is the fact that the Bible gives it to us, warts and all. Somebody said to me some years ago, well, of course, the Bible is really for people like you that need a bit of a crutch. And there's the Bible there, and you can read those lovely stories and say, isn't it all wonderful? The Bible isn't like that. Look at what it says about Peter. If you're writing a wonderful storybook, you don't put some of those sort of things in. Get thee behind me, Satan. You leave that out. You put in the nice bits. And David in the Old Testament, boy, we look at today's revelations and all the sexual antics of leaders and so on, and David could match them. And yet it's all there in the Bible. It demonstrates to me wonderfully the authenticity of the Word of God. It's all there, warts and all. And John's the guy who wrote this particular narrative, and he had the wonderful way of not saying me or I. The disciple whom Jesus loved, John's writing this, said to Peter, it is the Lord. Who is the disciple whom Jesus loved? It's me, it's John. And he doesn't get round to saying, I said, it's the disciple whom Jesus loved. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who'd leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? It's me, it's John. The guy who's writing this is that person. But he never likes to sort of identify himself in the I and the me sense. But John was right in the center of the whole thing. And again, in terms of the authenticity of the Bible, John says, this is the disciple, me, John, who testifies to these things, who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. We know his testimony is true. John was there. And John says, I'm recording the things that happened. So, what was happening? Well, we're a couple of weeks after the crucifixion. Try to put yourself in the position of the disciples. They'd given 3 years of their life to total commitment to Jesus. He said he was going to die. He said he was going to come back. Well, yeah, they had to believe it because he did die. And they had actually seen him a couple of times since he came back from the dead. But where am I now? One can imagine Peter and John and the other disciples saying, where do I fit into this? And so we find them, after the 3 years of dedicated service, back on the beach, back where they started, lost, bewildered. Where do we go next? And Peter, being the leader, says, I'm going fishing for the night. Good thinking, say the others. We'll join you. And so off they go for a night's fishing. Fish all night, come back. I was going to say not a sausage, not a fish. And as they're coming back into shore, there's somebody standing on the shore. And he shouts out, had any luck? No, they said. And the person on the shore said, well, throw the net out on the other side of the boat, on the right-hand side of the boat, which they do. Fished absolutely, almost breaking the net. And John says, just a minute, it's the Lord. It's the Lord standing on the beach. There was that interesting sort of recollection. Is it him, isn't it? There was something, they knew it was him, but it wasn't an instance or recognition. Peter being Peter, bless him, puts his cloak on. They would have been somewhat inadequately dressed in the boat overnight. Puts his cloak on, dives in and swims and wades to the shore. The others bring the boat back into the shore. Absolutely fish galore, 153 of them. Peter, as they come in, helps them to haul the net in. And Jesus had got the barbecue ready. And if you ever get the chance to go to Israel, this is one of the wonderful sights. As I've said before when I've been speaking, I love this country, I love it. But there's so many of the sights are pretty dreadful. As they built all sorts of edifices and said this could have been the place that Jesus died. and they're pretty dreadful. This is wonderful. You can walk down a path, and on the beach there, they set up a little barbecue, and they'll grill fish, and you can sit and have fish, have bread, and just sit on the beach and look out on Galilee, and you can really picture what was happening at that particular time. They finish the breakfast. A good friend of mine is known as Andy to everybody, family, friends, everybody. But occasionally we get Andrew, and we know what that means. Mum's got a bone to pick with Andy. It's the only time he ever gets called Andrew, when Mum's a bit fed up with him. Peter will have been having breakfast and very apprehensive, I suspect. He hasn't had a face-to-face with Jesus since that denial, since the night before Jesus died, and Peter in the courtyard said, "I don't know him," three times, and then the cock crew. Peter must have been devastated. He must have been very apprehensive as to what Jesus was going to do. And so when Jesus says, "Simon," and you may remember our Simon a couple of weeks ago said that Peter's name, Jesus had changed his name from Simon to Peter. Peter, and it's on this rock, what Peter means, "I'm going to build my church." That's your new name. What did he say here? Simon? And there's that ring, I think, of Andrew. Peter must have been absolutely on edge. Absolutely on edge. Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know I love you. Feed my lambs." Three times Jesus said that. On the third time, Simon got quite irritated. "But Lord, you know, I told you, you know that I love you." But what we have is, as the chapter heading says in the Bible, a reinstated Peter. Peter suddenly realized at that moment in time he was forgiven. What Jesus was saying is, "Okay, past is gone, feed my sheep. You've got a job to do, Simon. Get on with it." And there must have been an enormous sense of relief as far as Peter was concerned that Jesus had said this. You see, Christ forgives. And I just really want to bring two points out of this little passage this morning. One very key one: Christ forgives. If ever anyone needed forgiveness in our terms of sort of mounting up the severity of the wrongdoings, as we said a moment ago, Simon Peter would have been right high up there. "Get thee behind me, Satan." Denial. He was right there. Sins, the word we don't use nowadays, but was the word in the Bible. The disobedience of God, the wrongdoings, doing the things I shouldn't do, not doing the things I should do. All the things that offend God. Peter was right high up there. And yet here he is, forgiven. Here he is, forgiven. And we need to pick up the message from that. I've got a business friend of mine who still today, most lovely man, incredibly successful businessman. And he said, "Lynn, I can never become a Christian like you. I wish I could, but Jesus can never forgive me. He won't tell me what it is that happened in his younger life, but he said Jesus could not forgive me." And no matter how many times I and others say, "John, you're completely wrong," he said, "No, it cannot be." You see, when Jesus died on that cross, that Easter message, Jesus died as a righteous man and took away, at that moment, the Bible says, the sins of the world, took away the wrongdoings, the disobediences that you and I and all the people in the world have had, are having, will have. They were taken away on the cross. Taken. It wasn't a matter of saying, "Well, let's put sins, wrongdoings, 1 to 10, And anything in the 1 to 4 bracket, well, that's forgiven. 5, 6 is a bit dodgy, but 7 to 10, sorry, guys. No, Jesus, when he died on that cross, took away the sin of everybody, took away the wrongdoing. Every single person sitting here today can be forgiven. That death on that cross was a one-off that took away all sin. No difference, no good things, no bad things, no better things, all taken away. Christ forgives. And if you're sitting here this morning saying, well, it can't be, it can be. Christ forgives. And that's the wonderful story of Peter. They don't come much worse than him in so many ways. But we have a problem. Luke's gospel, Jesus said to a man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Well, I gather if you look at the original wording here, it rather infers that father isn't yet dead. So there could well be quite a delay before that guy follows. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I'll follow you, Lord, but I need to go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus said, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. And then the verse that gives so many problems. If anyone comes to me and does not hate father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, even their own life, says Jesus, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. If anyone comes to me and does not hate father, that can't be right. People say, count me out of this Christian thing. Well, the word hate isn't the word that we think of today. The Message, favourite of mine, the Message version, instead of using the word hate, it says, refuse to let go. And what Jesus is saying in both of these verses we've just looked at, that one and that one, in both cases, what Jesus is saying is if you are forgiven, you should be like the disciples on day one, on the beach. Jesus comes, follow me. What do? They follow him. They follow him. That's what the disciples did. That's what Jesus asked of us. Not to hate brothers, sisters, father. None of that at all. It's putting him first. And he says, you have a responsibility to your family. He wants us to look after our family. It isn't a matter of hating and walking away from them at all. He wants us to care for them. But it's a matter of putting him first. If we claim forgiveness and say, thank you, Lord, when you died on that cross, it was my wrongdoing that went with you. It's me that when the judgment day comes will be dressed in white robes I don't deserve, as that wonderful song puts it. God will see me with the white robes rather than all the wrongdoing that's in my life. Christ forgives. And then the second message that comes out of today, Christ wants workers. Christ wants work. Jesus said to Peter, okay, you love me, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, young and old, the little uns, the big uns. And it's the responsibility of those who've been forgiven, those who've said, I will follow Jesus, to feed, to nurture. And therefore, we as a group, as a family here, many of whom have made that step of saying, I want forgiveness, I'll follow you. We have the responsibility to feed the sheep. Hence all the activities within St. Paul's Church here. Care for the community. Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep. Feed isn't just food, it's not just the food bank, it's the whole nurturing of people. Feed my sheep, the responsibility that we have. Today, Jesus probably would have referred to teachers or office workers or whatever. In those days, shepherd was the person everyone could see and realize, the shepherd whose whole life was spent caring for those sheep. Yes, Jesus wants workers. And we've got this wonderful picture of Peter Come next week and the last of our Peter series, Peter, a Transformed Life. This guy who denied Jesus, this guy who was told, get thee behind me, Satan, was responsible for 3,000 people, we find in the early chapters of Acts, coming to have a faith in Jesus. It was this guy that went before the Sanhedrin, the powerful court, fearless, and they said, oh, he's been with Jesus. Peter, a transformed life, forgiven, a job to do, and getting on with it. Good old roller coaster Pete. And then those last couple of verses, fascinating. Jesus, right out of the blue, it seems to me, simply says to Peter, you're going to die a pretty awful death, a death of crucifixion. And Peter sort of taken back a bit and turns around in Peter's side and said, what about him? Pointing to John. And Jesus said, mind your own business. And apparently going back through history, we find that John did live, die a normal death of old age. Peter didn't. Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen to them. Jesus knows exactly what's going to happen to you and I today, tomorrow, next week. He knows. He's outside time. And he's the person who's forgiven us. He's the person who's given us a job to do. And he's the one that we worship as we come here and as we live our life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Christian, the Christ in church to which we belong. And as we sit here this morning, Heavenly Father, we ask that if we need forgiveness today, we will ask for it. If we've been forgiven and know we've been forgiven, Father, help us to look to you to say, what's my role in feeding sheep? What's my job? Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.